And welcome to Travel Fun. My name is Mary Beth Clementi, and I'm the host of this talk show on travel. And this week, I'm happy to have Dave Riley, CEO of Telluride Ski and Golf, in the studio. And we are going to be chatting about Telluride Ski Resort and also Mountain Village. I would like to welcome Dave Riley to Travel Fun. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Mary Beth.
It's good to have you here.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
In the interest of full disclosure, I have to say that you are my boss, since I'm a ski instructor at Telluride. But I have that right up on my blog, bonjourcolorado.com, that people and places, establishments that are among my favorites, I have a close connection to. So there's no secret there. And we are going to be chatting more about the winter aspect of the resort. And hopefully I can have you back at another time to talk about the summer aspect. And keep in mind as well that people might be tuning in from all over the world because I will be posting this on my blog, Bonjour Colorado, as a podcast. So we want to address everybody in addition to the locals. So having said that, why don't you start out talking about the Telluride Ski Resort experience in general? Describe it to somebody that has never been here and what they can expect to find.
Well, that's a big question, you know, the Telluride experience. The ski resort, you know, from my point of view, is international as opposed to local. You know, most of the people who ski here came in on an airplane. We don't have a big metropolitan area anywhere near us, so it's really different than a lot of ski resorts around the world in that it's a little quieter.
No lift lines.
Yeah, very few lift lines. Saturday might feel kind of like a Thursday because it's kind of a destination where the average night's stayed is six. So, people are here for a true vacation. The resort itself is big, by comparative standards. It's set in the San Juan Mountain Range of southwest Colorado, where it's one of the most beautiful alpine environments you'll find in North America, if not the world. We're kind of known as the most beautiful place you'll ever ski. It's got a European pedestrian-oriented village that's kind of halfway up the hill, connected by a gondola to a historic mining town, the town of Telluride. The gondola runs 7 days a week until midnight for free, which is something people really appreciate because once you get here, you really don't need a car. And that was the plan all along. We've got fantastic ski school, as you just mentioned. You're one of the fantastic instructors. No, it's true. It's a world-renowned ski school with really fantastic people. There's some really wonderful restaurants. Per capita, I'd say there's probably more restaurants here than most little towns. Great restaurants and bars and nightlife, shopping, other activities besides skiing. Even, you know, in the wintertime, we've got an eco-adventures department that, you know, for people who don't ski, if they want to go on a guided snowshoe tour, a snowmobile tour, winter fly fishing, you name it, we do it, you know, so we try to cover all the bases that way. You know, the terrain is, it's interesting because 15, 20 years ago, Telluride had a reputation as being a very difficult ski resort to ski in terms of the terrain. But it's been expanded over the years, and now we have more balanced terrain. We have great big novice beginner areas and great big intermediate areas in addition to great big expert advanced areas.
That's why it's a good teaching mountain.
Right. And a good vacation mountain because, you know, not everyone in the party skis at the same level. And the terrain is separated out real naturally, so that works real well for people. And, you know, we've also got something that's unique, and I call it the adventure terrain. Other people call it the hike-to terrain. And there's a lot of inbounds terrain above the upper chairlifts that is controlled from an avalanche mitigation point of view, and the patrol supervises people in there, in those areas. But it's requires a hike anywhere from 5 minutes to 2 hours. And that's kind of grown in popularity. It has kind of a backcountry feel to it, but with the safety of the patrol in place. So that's been really popular, and we've opened a lot of that new terrain just in the past 3 or 4 years.
And certainly that has attracted a lot of people from all over the country and even internationally, the lure of sort of backcountry skiing right in within a resort. I would like to back up and just clarify one thing you said. Of course, maybe the numbers for visitors are mostly national and international, but I think it's important to bring out that Telluride really does have a distinctive local flavor. And that's one of the things that I love very much. Before we started the interview, I was just saying to you, I went to one of the bigger resorts in Utah, actually a few different over just recently, and I missed my Rasta lifties that we see here in Telluride. And, you know, there are some ski bum types that come here to ski a season and work at the resort. And that is really so much of the soul of Telluride.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a really strong ski culture here.
Ski culture, exactly.
Yeah, it's a ski town, USA. You know, and I look at my daughter, who's a 15-year-old in high school, and, you know, they ski 4 days a week. They have ski PE for 2 afternoons, you know, which is really unique, and I'm totally envious of that, you know. And then they ski for ski club on Saturday and family ski or free ski on Sunday. So, you know, all the kids grow up just becoming these incredible skiers or snowboarders. And, you know, and almost half of our visits per year are season pass holders or locals. So this is a passionate group of skiers here, you know, and fun group of people, a lot of colorful characters.
And you mentioned this key PE, and I've noticed myself and had a lot of people comment to me on chairlift rides that you see really such a huge volume of great skiers in Telluride when you're on the chairlift, and, you know, all the way from the kids to experts that have been here for years and years, but you see a huge bunch of awesome skiers, and that's fun. It shows that it is a real ski mountain.
True. Yeah. I mean, when you ski as often as the kids do here and the locals do, you get good at it, I guess, you know. But, you know, it's the terrain also. We have a lot of vertical here. You know, the mountain's big, and it's got everything from big above tree line alpine basins to forested gladed areas to big boulevard groomed runs. So, you know, it's got everything and a lot of it.
Okay. I'd like you to talk a little bit about yourself and how long you've been at Telluride, and how you came here, where you were before you came here, and first and foremost, how you became so passionate about skiing. Because you're an awesome skier yourself. I haven't skied with you, but the word is out, and which is probably how you have driven Telluride in this direction of expanding the terrain.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have to admit, I love to ski, and you know, I started skiing when I was 6 with my family, and a lot of it in the Lake Tahoe area where I was growing up. And I went to college in Colorado. I came to Colorado because of skiing. I picked a school that is in Grand Junction called Mesa State, and the reason I picked that school was it was the closest 4-year school to Telluride. True story, you know, Telluride, I thought was, this was like 25 years ago, the greatest ski resort I'd ever been to, and I wanted to get a college degree, but I didn't want to be too far away from Telluride. So, and then I graduated and immediately went to work in the ski business, and worked at several different resorts over a period of, you know, over 20 years, and and then ended up back here in Telluride, which I really didn't plan, but it's so cool to be a part of it now. Looking back, you know, 25 years ago, really seeking an education, you know, at a school where I could just ski all the time. So it was always about skiing. Everything was always about skiing.
That's why you're so passionate. I would like to take a break, and we are going to be right back and talk about the vision for Telluride Ski Resort. I'm visiting with Dave Riley, CEO of Telluride Ski Resort. We'll be right back.
The train is the slowest on the track. You reach the lodge and you unpack. When you look at your watch, it's time to go back. Why the hell do we ski? Oh, you buy a sweater, a pole, a sock. You get the bill, you go into shock. So you put your wife and your kids in hock. Why the hell do we ski? The ad reads, modern Swiss chalet. It's built of cardboard, crud, and clay. You sleep on burlap stuffed with hay. Why the hell do we ski? Then the icy winds begin to blow. The temperature drops to 20 below. But the slope is closed because it doesn't snow. Why the hell do we ski? The ski instructor says you passed. You hit the slope, you're shushing fast. The very next day you're in a cast. Why the hell do we ski? It's time for lunch when you're up on the hill. You look in the box and makes you ill. But two lousy slices of bread can't kill. Why the hell do we ski? The drinks they serve don't have any kick. The beer is thin, the wine is thick. You don't get stewed, but you sure get sick. Why the hell do we ski? You see this girl and you wonder if her perfume's strong, you take a whiff. You open her parka, she freezes stiff. Why the hell do we ski? And yet we all know it very well. It's buono, gut, terrific, bell. No need to ask, no need to tell. Why the hell do we ski?
Hello, and welcome back to Travel Fun. I am visiting with Dave Riley, the CEO of Telluride Ski and Golf, and we have been talking about mainly the winter aspect of the mountain. And now I would like to talk about Dave's vision for the ski resort. And I imagine that will include your vision for Mountain Village, since the two are so closely intertwined. And I think it's important to say for people tuning into this that perhaps have never been to Telluride, because I will be posting this on my blog, bonjourcolorado.com, as a podcast, that Telluride consists of a historic town and then 1,000 feet up into the mountains, there's Telluride Mountain Village, which is where we have the newer structures. And all of that is connected by a wonderful gondola that's free, that serves as public transportation, and that's a big part of what makes Telluride unique. So, Dave, what is your vision for the upcoming year?
Well, you know, we're constantly looking to improve the experience for our guests, and we do a lot of planning, long-range planning, annual planning. You know, here we are in February, and we've been working on next summer's projects for about 4 months already. And so on a short-term basis, you know, we're looking at fine-tuning the restaurants and the facilities and a lot of capital maintenance, just making sure things look really nice and operate well for our employees. And, you know, we've started doing quite a bit of glading. Just that's basically going in and thinning the forests, taking standing dead out and, making it so it's actually a happier, healthier forest stand, which is also better for skiing, cause the trees aren't competing for the light and the water, when they're too dense or choked up. So we're working on a lot of that. And
lots of glading.
Yeah, forest thinning. You know, I can't get into all the details right now for next summer because we haven't finalized the plans, but at the same time, we've been working for over 2 years on a new long-range plan for the ski resort, and simultaneously, the Mountain Village Town Council has been working on a new long-range plan for the village, which is intended to kind of chart the course of where the village is going to go over the next 30 years. It's really an amazing process. It's been going on for 2.5 years. And, you know, the vision part of it really comes from the community. You know, what does the community want to see in 30 years in the village? And so they went through and did a lot of workshops and open house meetings, and they hired consultants to help them put together. They spent the first year just putting vision statements together, and there's like 10 of them. And then from that, they began looking at the land, you know, and created kind of sub areas within the village and identifying what kind of things would help the village in the long run. And when I say help the village, that could probably be put into a couple categories, like public facilities like recreation center, medical centers, parks, things like that, parking. Another segment might be what drives the economy. Because it's a resort town, the bed base is very important, the hotels, the quality, the critical mass of those, the shopping and the dining, the quality of that and the diversity of that, and then also the facilities that people use to have meetings, the conference center. So those are all the things that kind of drive the economy up there. And so in addition to that, you know, there's been a lot of work done on trying to figure out how to balance those things, you know, and do that in a way that doesn't compromise the things that people really love about the place. Because we don't,
which are?
Well, we don't want to get overcrowded. We're kind of selfish,
exactly.
You know, admittedly, that, you know, we don't want to become, you know, an urban resort that has gigantic lift lines and, you know, huge amounts of traffic and those kinds of things, because we don't have that now and we really don't want that. So it's kind of optimizing the facilities so that, you know, the economy works, but and the environment is protected and the community culture is fantastic. And that's the goal of the Mountain Village comprehensive planning process. And they're about 80%, 90% through that process right now. It's been almost 3 years, like I said. And from that, the ski area will really kind of react to what the community's plan is. You know, we don't want to be ahead or behind of it, because proper mountain resort planning works to balance the facilities in the village with the facilities on the mountain. And then there's this really kind of complex mountain planning parameters for the ski area also that have to do with first understanding the terrain and doing digital terrain analysis and determining, you know, how many acres of beginner, intermediate, advanced terrain do you have? How are those acres being served by lifts? Are those in balance? You know, are you underserving or overserving certain areas? You know, how can you improve the mountain resort experience? And how does that balance with your restaurant capacities? How does that balance with your patrol facilities? How does that balance with your maintenance facilities? Right down to employee lockers, things like that. And so both these plans, the ski area plan and the village plan, are kind of going on simultaneously, but the ski area really wants to let the community plan kind of inform the ski area plan in terms of the sequencing, if that makes sense.
You have been a driving force, maybe the driving force, on the mountain in opening up a bunch of new terrain and some pretty spectacular terrain that is unique in America. And I think it's important maybe to touch on Bear Creek and what's been going on there. And if you'd first start out talking about Bear Creek and what that means to Telluride and the ski resort and how you think that's all going to come together for both the town and the ski resort.
Well, yeah, I guess I could back up and first just talk about what's happened more recently. I've been here 4 years, and I really can't take credit for all this new terrain that's opened. It was always there, you know, and I might have nudged it a little bit, but there's some really fantastic people in the mountain department that have actually made it happen. They've done the heavy lifting, and they continue to do the heavy lifting, you know, with my support, of course. The Bear Creek thing is really interesting. It's outside of our permit area, our Forest Service permit area. There have been gates that have provided that access that have been opened and then closed and then opened and then closed by the federal agency, the Forest Service, over a period of decades for different reasons. And most recently, they were closed again because of some concerns over some private property owners down in the lower part of the basin, so to speak. And that's caused some angst in the community because, you know, people really like to ski Bear Creek. I like to ski Bear Creek. You know, it's over the top fantastic. It's dangerous because it's not managed. It's true backcountry skiing.
There's no avalanche control work.
Yeah. And people have died in there, and there have been very serious accidents back in there. And so, you know, going in there, you have to have all the knowledge of backcountry skiing and all the equipment and know how to, you know, self-rescue and different things like that. So you can't just go flying in there and unprepared. And but over the past, I'd say 5 or 6 years, you know, backcountry or side country skiing where you can access it off of a lift and ski back to a lift, you know, by going out of bounds and back in through gates, has really increased in popularity around the country, particularly here in Telluride. The equipment has improved. Just the demand and desire to have that experience has exploded. I mean, people are just really into it now. And so what we're seeing is, you know, half dozen years ago, there were maybe 20 or 25 kind of locals who just, it was their private playground and they were enjoying it. And now on a, you know, if the weather's correct, you know, you'll have 200-300 people a day going through there. And, so, you know, it's interesting. I ask myself, you know, at what point is this at a level where from just a public safety point of view that it needs to be managed? I think that's something that the Forest Service ultimately just needs to decide because it's currently not in our permit area. It's not our responsibility to manage. We've done a lot of analysis over what it would look like for us to manage it. We did a snow study. Basically, it allowed us, the Forest Service permitted us to go out our ski patrol and map the area for avalanche activity, you know, where an avalanche starts from, where it runs to, under what conditions, so that we could put an atlas together so that we could understand it. And we've completed a large part of the area, and I think we understand it now. But, you know, my prediction is that, you know, someday it's going to reopen because of public demand. And I think in the long run, it'll probably end up having to be managed. And that scares some people for a variety of reasons. You know, just the notion of change is scary to some people. And, but, you know, if you look at it over time, is it 3 years, 5 years, 15 years, 50 years? You know, at what point is it just going to require management? You know, obviously, if you have, you know, enough people using it, and, you know, I don't want to think that it's got to get worse before it gets better. You know, that you have to have some real tragic events back there before, you know, people realize that, wow, this is serious. You know, this needs the same kind of treatment and professional management that the actual ski area has. But it's a big debate in the community for sure, and it's passionate. You know, and it's not over. You know.
Would you consider that one of the greatest challenges for you right now?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You know, I think for the community, not just for me, you know, what to do with this situation. I don't believe that we can ignore it, that it's going to stay static. You know, it's just not. It's too nice, and people want it so badly. And so, you know, if I think about what it's going to look like in 5 or 10 years, you know, it's probably going to continue to get more use.
Especially as the word gets out there that Telluride is known for awesome high country terrain.
It is. It is. There's no doubt.
You want to keep building on that, I suppose.
Well, you know, I'm a ski guy, admittedly. You know, I'm not offended by building chairlifts. I like to build chairlifts. I like the sport of skiing, and I like the access that the chairs provide. And the San Juans, you know, my personal opinion is that it's a sea of mountains. There are many places where people can hike if they want to have a backcountry experience. And the ski area occupies actually a very small percentage of the surrounding mountains. And yet it provides satisfaction and experiences that are exceptional for the people who live here and the people who visit here. And a lot of jobs are dependent upon it. And so it's a kind of a common debate in a lot of ski towns around the world. And it's no different here. It's going to continue to be debated over, you know, how much is enough? How much expansion is enough? And where does that go next?
Well, that's a great segue for my next question. And we're actually running out of time, but I would like you to share a little bit about your travels to other ski areas, because you have traveled extensively both within the U.S. and in Europe and maybe other parts of the world, and some of the highlights from those areas and what you are bringing back in your vision for Telluride.
Well, I love that question, and I have spent a lot of time mainly in the Alps. I've been to a couple of dozen resorts, and really with a quest to learn from others, you know, how it works in those areas, and not to become like them, but to just learn the best practices that they follow in order to improve Telluride and bring some of those ideas back. And one of the things that really struck me in Europe is that those resorts are much more mature than those in North America. And their land use development patterns are really different. To be more specific, like if you go to Zermatt's a great example. I love Zermatt.
I do too. you know, nightlife is really fun there.
Yeah, it's a small, compact village, much like Telluride, really, if you look at it from up on the mountain looking down at it. But the mix of the units and how they're used are quite different. For example, in Zermatt, you know, the ratio of hotels to which are called hotbeds, because there's a body in them, to cold beds, which are, you know, condominiums that are not used, or second homes that are not used except during holidays, are called holiday homes, is really different than in North America resorts. And there's a reason for that, is because in Europe they really fully understand how the economy works in a remote alpine village and how their choices in terms of development affect that, the long-term sustainability and economic vitality on a generational basis, so their kids can actually stay and have a living and own a home. It's an interesting thing that has happened in North America, because real estate development and shorter-term profits have affected the mix of the units in a lot of alpine towns. It may feel like it's working when you come here during the holiday, you know, because it's got a heartbeat and it's warm and it's vibrant. But when it's off season or slower season, it gets pretty quiet. Not only in Telluride, but in other towns around North America. And so I think it kind of circles back around to the Mountain Village Comp Plan work that I was talking about earlier, fully understanding what it takes for a remote alpine community like Telluride or Mountain Village to provide the prosperity and the economic engine for the people who live and work here and for their kids, you know, is highly dependent upon the land use choices that are made by the elected officials in the community. So
what would be a good land use choice,
in your
opinion?
I think that you have to focus on using your scarce land, you know, because it is scarce. We don't want to sprawl all over the place like some resorts have. That's another outcome that we don't want. And increase the proportion of hotbeds, not just any hotbeds, but high-quality hotbeds, and also those that have a recognizable brand. Because they work better. Basically, they perform better. They have people in them more often. You can look at examples of resorts that have a low percentage, like Mountain Village, and look at an example like Lac in Austria that has a high percentage. And you look at the wages that are paid to the employees and the sustainability and prosperity of the families who live there. And, it's better in Lac, you know, than it is here. So those are planning decisions that need to be fully understood to be able to create an environment that is economically prosperous. You know, there's a higher level of prosperity for the people who live here and their children.
So perhaps, if I'm hearing you correctly, more hotel-type rooms? And also, I would imagine that means developing the convention possibilities for Telluride as well.
You're right. Hotels are one type of hotbed, but there's vacation clubs, there's timeshare, you know, and also even condominiums can be hot if they're the right kind of floor plan. If they're smaller, the odds are is that the owner is okay with putting it into a rental pool. If they're real large floor plans, the owners typically don't need the cash flow off of rentals, and so they won't put them in a rental pool because they want to leave their socks in the drawer and the art on the wall, and they don't want anybody in their unit. If you can buy a $3 million second home or a condo, you probably don't need, you know, $200 a night and won't put it in a rental pool. And the conference facilities, you're right, that's critical. Every higher-performing alpine resort town has a complete conference center. Our conference center right now is a ballroom, but it lacks certain things like breakout rooms. And that's part of the comp plan, though, that they have recognized the need to complete the conference center.
Okay. And there you have it, the vision of Telluride Ski Resort and Telluride Mountain Village. Sadly, we're out of time. I have been visiting with Dave Riley, CEO of Telluride Ski and Golf, and I am going to be posting this interview on my blog, BonjourColorado.com, as a podcast, so you can tune in there. And, of course, there's tons of information at TellurideSkiResort.com about the mountain, and also Dave's blog. And you're really good about giving updates about what's going on and what's important to you. So you can go to Dave's blog at TellurideSkiResort.com. Dave, thanks so much for being a guest on Travel Fun.
Thank you. It's always fun.
And have a great rest of the season.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay.
Come on, fly with me, we'll float down in the blue.
Fly with me, float down to Peru.
In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you.
Fly with me, we'll take off in the blue.
Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied,
we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you.